This is KFIZ Radio and First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are glad to join together in this time of prayer and devotion.
Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the Old Testament, the book of Habakkuk 1, chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. The oracle that the prophet Habakkuk saw, O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not listen? Or cry to you, violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look for trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law becomes slack, and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous, therefore judgment comes forth perverted. I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous live by their faith. Our second lesson comes from John's letter to the theologians, 2 Theologians, chapter 1, verses 1 to 4 and 11 and 12. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from the Lord, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith during all your persecutions and the afflictions that you are enduring. To this end, we always pray for you, asking that our God will make you worthy of his call and will fulfill by his power every good resolve and work of faith, so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Our gospel reading is from the 19th chapter of Luke, verses 1 to 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, he has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much. Then Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost. for the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, and for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. I was wondering, I guess maybe it could have been last week, did you all celebrate All Saints Day here? You didn't. How disappointing. I'm getting some head nods here too. This is great. Yeah, you know, if we had a bunch of kids here this morning and they were gathered here on the steps, I don't know if you do that when you're back after COVID or pre-COVID. But anyway, I would like to let them know about All Saints. Well, for one thing, you know what All Saints is about. It's about celebrating those who went before us, those of the faith who went before us, who are now that great cloud of witnesses. But I like to talk with the kids about it because I know that they think a saint is someone who is extraordinary. And they know, for example, St. John, St. Augustine, St. Mary, St. Paul, all those big deal saints. But that's not really the best definition of a saint, not in Scripture. A saint is one who is simply sanctified by God. You can look it up. You'll find that. The sanctified of God. So that leads me to the next point I always like to make with them is that they are little saints. And actually, we're all saints. Even though you might not think of yourself as a saint. Even if someone you live with doesn't think of you as a saint. We're all saints. And I like to do a little round with them and I say, you're a saint. I'm a saint. We're all saints together because we're the sanctified people of God. You could try that right now, can't you? I'm a saint. You're a saint. We're all saints together. So anyway, maybe next year you'll celebrate All Saints Sunday. Actually, All Saints is November 1st, so you could do it either last Sunday or you could have done it this Sunday. So we're sort of doing it this Sunday, aren't we? You know, when you read Scripture, you don't usually expect to see anything humorous, right? I mean, how many times has somebody read Scripture and the congregation has laughed? Doesn't happen, does it? But I want to tell you that there is humor in the Bible. There really is. And Jesus, I think, had a really good sense of humor. Think, for example, of the woman who went to the cantankerous old judge in order for vindication, and she badgered him relentlessly until he gave her what she asked for. That's funny, isn't it? Maybe a little bit. Or think of the one-liner, the great one-liner that Jesus gives us about how it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for the rich to get into the kingdom. You didn't think that was funny either. Maybe a little. Well, it depends on which side of the fence you sit on, right? And actually, the disciples didn't think that was funny either, and they took Jesus to task about it. But then he said, well, with God, anything is possible. You see the humor in that, don't you? So today we have another humorous story, but not from Jesus himself, but it's a story that Luke told about an encounter that Jesus had. But as I said before, not everybody who hears a funny story thinks it's funny. And this one has to do with the chief tax collector by the name of Zacchaeus. Even his name's a little amusing, isn't it? How many Zacchaeuses do you know? Probably none. That Jesus would be interested in a common tax collector wasn't funny at all to some of the people who were watching what was going on. Because as you heard in the scripture passage, Zacchaeus was a sinner. But there probably would have been others present who were kind of tickled to see that a common tax collector could garner the attention of Jesus. Now, the tree climbing episode would have contributed to the fun as well. Only, you know, if you read it very carefully, at least in the English version, if you read it very carefully, it isn't completely clear that Zacchaeus was the short one. Now, I know people read this passage and they think Zacchaeus was the little guy and Jesus was the tall guy, 6'4", right? Looks like a Green Bay Packer. Well, back in those days, chances are nobody was 6'4", except maybe Goliath or somebody like that. But anyway, people weren't that tall. But wouldn't it be a stitch if Jesus was the one who was the short one? Or maybe they were both short. I don't know. Whatever the case, Zacchaeus had to climb a tree because this chief tax collector wanted to get a better look at Jesus as Jesus came by. Do you see the humor in this? Everybody's on the ground watching, and here's this man up in a tree watching things. What's not funny, though, is the way Zacchaeus made his living collecting taxes. He was an agent of the Roman government that occupied Palestine, and because of that, the people around Zacchaeus were, well, let's put it this way, he simply wasn't very popular among his fellow citizens, and it really was for two reasons. The first reason is that people didn't like paying high taxes, does anybody, to the Romans, who handsomely benefited from the taxes they collected from these people, but the people that they collected them from never saw any benefit whatsoever, or very little benefit at all. So that's one reason they would have been down on Zacchaeus, the tax collector. But there was another reason, and it was that Zacchaeus had the approval of the Romans to add a surcharge to whatever he collected, a commission of sorts, you might call it. I don't even know if the Romans paid him a salary. I think they may have just said, you collect the taxes and take off the top whatever it is, or create whatever you want, and you can go home with that. It was a system ripe for abuse, and the sense of it is that Zacchaeus took full advantage of that opportunity and enriched himself because of it. So the fun begins when Jesus spots Zacchaeus in the tree. Come down out of that tree, Zacchaeus. You and I are going to your place for a while, says Jesus. Now Luke tells us that those who were watching started to complain because, as we said before, we know Zacchaeus was a sinner. Yet I would guess there were others there that were kind of amused that Jesus caught Zacchaeus spying and wanted to go to his house. Can't you see them elbowing one another and saying, busted, he's in trouble now. I wonder what he's going to say to that man. Well, whatever the case, Zacchaeus was 100% willing to let that happen. But that's not all Zacchaeus was willing to do. I like the way Fred Buechner, in his little book, Peculiar Treasures, describes what happened. Zacchaeus was taken so completely aback by the honor of the thing that before he had a chance to change his mind, he promised not only to turn over 50% of his holdings to the poor, but to pay back 4-to-1 all the cash he'd extorted from everybody else. To that, Jesus adds, today, salvation has come to this house. What an incredible outcome. I wonder what it is that made Zacchaeus willing to become all of a sudden so openly generous, so extravagantly generous. Was it that he finally was coming to terms with the idea that money isn't all there is to life? Did he finally discover that it is more blessed to give than to receive? Or was he simply feeling guilty about all the people he had extorted, and he decided to try to rectify the situation? I don't know. But then I thought, why did Luke tell this story in the first place? Was he the chairperson of his church's stewardship committee? Were they in the midst of a financial campaign? Was it not going as well as Luke would have liked it to? Of course, you know, a lot of clever tactics have been embraced by, I'm ashamed to say, ministers, pastors, to try to squeeze more money out of a congregation. The one that I like, or let me put it this way, the one I hate the most is the one where they tell you, the more you give, the more you will get back. The sense is, if you give it away, you're going to get it back again. That's never worked with me. I mean, there are good things that come my way for having given, and I feel good for giving, but I don't get it back. It doesn't come back. It's bad arithmetic to think that way. And not only that, it's very bad theology. But this story Luke tells is amazing because there are no gimmicks involved. There is no quid pro quo here. Zacchaeus isn't laying out some money in order to get some money back. That is not the case. No, it's just a sincere outpouring for a man who seems incredibly grateful that Jesus would pay attention to him. A while ago, I was listening to a radio podcast that was Fresh Air with Terry Gross, and she was interviewing Anne Lamott. I suspect some of you have read some of the things that Anne Lamott has written. There are quite a few. She's a Presbyterian elder. She also has served her church as director of Christian education, as well as being a prolific writer. But anyway, she was on Fresh Air, and she was talking about her book, Stitches, which has something to do with how our lives can be put back together even after they have been totally ripped apart. Lamott talked about her three favorite prayers: help, thanks, and wow. And she says these are the three essential prayers as far as she's concerned. But then she went on to talk about something else. She went on to talk about grace, the grace of God. Let me tell you what she said. I do not understand the mystery of grace, only that it meets us where we are and does not leave us where it found us. Let me say that again. Grace, it meets us where we are and does not leave us where it found us. I think that's it. Luke wasn't raising money for his church. He just wanted people to know what can happen when you suddenly realize that Jesus is paying attention to you. It can turn your whole life upside down. It can turn a hateful person into a loving person. It can turn a resentful person into a forgiving person. It can even turn a stingy person into an enormously generous person. That's what grace can do. That's why Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house. Grace meets us where we are, but it does not leave us where it found us. That's the best stewardship program I've ever seen. No gimmicks, no quid pro quo. Just the grace of the one who loves us and empowers us to become the loving, gracious, grace-filled, forgiving people and generous that God meant us to be in the first place. And by the way, that's what being a saint is all about, being sanctified by God, made holy by God. Flawed material to start with, but grace enough to grow with, even for a scallywag like Zacchaeus. You know what this means, don't you? It means there's hope for every single one of us.
Thank you for joining with us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church of Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street, and we have in-person worship at 9 a.m.